Thank you that you lead and guide us. And Lord, you're forever, ever with us. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you said that we're to bring the tithes and the offerings into the storehouse, that if we do that, you'd pour out wholeness upon us, and that the devourer would be rebuked. And Lord, we just thank you for that. We bless the tithes and the offerings. Lord, we thank you and we glorify you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm trying to figure out what to do first. I want us to gather around Ruth, and she's going to have surgery the Tuesday. Isn't that correct? Amen. And pray for her, and just believing that the Lord is going to lead the doctors and the correction for her hip, that there will be a speedy recovery. Amen. Speedy recovery. Amen. You don't have to get up, Ruth. Wait, let me get the old. Amen. Father, you said, if any sick amongst you, let them call on the elders of the church. They'll pray the prayer of faith over them. They'll anoint them with oil, and they shall be healed. Lord, we thank you, and we thank you, and we just speak healing to Ruth. Lord, I just ask that you guide the doctor. Lord, you guide him in performing this operation. You be with him, and you be with Ruth. Lord, we thank you that you bore the stripes on your back for her healing 2,000 years ago. And Lord, we're just saying and believing for a speedy recovery. Lord, a speedy recovery. And Lord, we say that this would come against pain in the name of Jesus, because you took her pain 2,000 years ago. And we thank you and we magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, Wanda, Ruth's birthday is tomorrow. Oh, I got it. Yeah. I know. So. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, I want us to got some other people that we need to pray for. And I'm just going to share with you one of the things. Person is Pastor Hasmany. Nan talked to Marty today and said he's really having a hard time. So want to just lift him up and believe in his total healing of his mind. And Bobby is back home. They finally found a medicine that's working on his heart, and so they're wanting him to, he's home to get strength, and then he's going to have a defibrillator and pacemaker replaced. And Darlene's sinus is bugging her again, so we need to pray for her. And Norman's got a sniffles or something. Maybe it's the green stuff. Yes, dear. Praise God. Yes.
I have a dear friend. Her name is Dee Fryer, and she's going into Scott and White this week. She just keeps losing weight and doesn't feel good, and they can't find out what's wrong with her. So they're going to be running a bunch of tests. I'd like a personal.
Okay. And her first name is Dee?
Dee.
Dee, okay.
She lives over in Edinburgh.
Okay. And then I want us all to be really just continuing praying for the border. You know, Jennifer Gray has been initiated the prayers on the border, and you know, we think sometimes the border's getting, everything's getting better. And Saturday, I was driving from the house going on 281 to the office in Progreso, and as I passed where 1015 is, there was the Homeland Security, three vehicles with their lights all flashing. They were blocking the road going south. Two of them had their pistols out. The other had their AK-47 out like this. And so, you know, we don't know what was happening. But, you know, that just goes to show that. Okay. Well, anyway, that was, you know, they, of course, the helicopters fly over our house, seem like three nights a week, just constantly, because we're a quarter mile from the river. So anyway, we just need to, we kind of think everything's cool, everything's getting better, and so we need to just be. Okay, hauling people across. You know, yeah. You know, that it's one of the things that, this was years ago. I mean, when Benton was in high school, and of course, you know how young boys, they'd go driving down the levees and shooting rabbits at night and everything. And they had an incident close to our house, and so I ended up going to, it was in Far then, to talk to the Homeland Security people and everything. And I said, you know, are those boys in danger? You know, because I could put a stop to it, you know. And they said, no, they're really not in danger. Just tell them if they ever see anything, or see anything on the ground, see anybody, don't stop. Don't act like you're suspicious. Don't do anything. They're not going to bother them hauling stuff across, because most of the people hauling things across are criminals. They've already been in jail. They've already been in prison. And they won't think twice about killing anybody that tries to meddle in their affairs. But if they don't meddle in their affairs, they're not wanting to draw attention. They're just wanting to get the stuff across. So anyway, but I think I slowed the boys from down. But you know, this has been going on a long time. And seem like it's gotten progressively worse. But anyway, this is one of the things I want to, you know, it's easy to forget to be praying for the border, and we need to continue it. So, Father, we just come to you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just send forth words of healing to Pastor Haspany. You said that you sent your word. You spoke words of healing to people, Jesus, and people were healed. And Lord, you said that we could do the same thing. And Lord, we just speak words of healing to him right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, just touch him and heal him. And Lord, he's being a witness and being a light in that place. But Lord, we're believing, and Marty's believing, that he will be healed in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just do lift Bobby and Darlene up. Lord, we thank you that Bobby is getting better and being restored, and we speak healing to Darlene, that the sinuses will just be cured in the name of Jesus. And we thank you. And Lord, we just lift up Norman and speak healing to him and ask that you be with him. And Lord, that you, Dee, as she goes for these tests, and Lord, you just be with her and just heal her and touch her. And Lord, we just thank you and we magnify you. And Lord, we do pray for the situation on the border. Lord, we pray for people on both sides of the border. And Lord, you just protect the people, the innocent people that are working and carrying out their normal day-to-day affairs on both sides of the border. Lord, you protect them. You put a hedge about them that nothing will harm them. And we just thank you and we magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Tuesday morning, we have prayer here at 6:30. And Tuesday night, we have the healing rooms in Mission that are open at 7 p.m. Wednesday night, we have Bible study and prayer here at 6 p.m. And then Thursday night, we have healing rooms here at 7 p.m. Amen? Amen. So praise God. Well, we somewhat started last week, but we didn't get very far in the message. But I want Wanda to read Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 14 and 15.
For if you forgive men for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions.
Amen. Of course, we know that that scripture is the end of the Lord's Prayer, that the disciples had asked Jesus to teach them to pray, and he was teaching them to pray, and part of the prayer is to forgive. And so it's just forgiveness is this part. You know, someone said forgiveness is not just something you do. Forgiveness is Christianity. You know, I thought that was good when I heard that. Christianity is forgiveness. I mean, we are walking in forgiveness. Amen? Amen. Now, Wanda, I want you to read Matthew, the 18th chapter. We'll start in verse 21. I think I told you 24, but we'll start in 21. This is the story of the just dealing with a sinning brother, and so it's just one of those things about forgiveness that we need to think about this when we're in unforgiveness. And so, Wanda.
Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a certain king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. And when he had begun to settle them, there was brought to him one who owed him 10,000 talents. But since he did not have the means to repay, his lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. The slave, therefore, falling down, prostrate himself before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. And the lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, "Pay back what was due or what you owed." So his fellow slave fell down and began to entreat him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you." He was unwilling, however, but went and threw him in jail until he should pay back what was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his lord said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you entreated me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave, even as I had mercy on you?" And his lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that he was owed him. So shall my heavenly Father also do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart.
Amen. So that's quite a statement. And, you know, as we looking at this morning, it's forgiveness, but part of forgiveness is refusing bitterness. You know, it's so easy to become bitter about things. And not only the bitter, but, you know, there's a mental picture that goes on when we've been hurt by people. And I don't know there's anyone in life that has not been hurt by someone. In other words, we've all been hurt. But we need to commit to forgive others who have hurt us and just release them to the Father. It's so much a part of forgiveness. And then we release those people. We forgive them, but then we release them to the Father for His redemptive purposes. You know, in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, in verse 11, it says, "Those that love God, He disciplines." And then the key verse in chapter 12, verses 11 through 15 is, "Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble, and by this many become defiled." So in other words, we need to make it a point not to let bitterness rise up within us. And it's to do that is to forgive. You know, like I tell people, forgiveness is not a choice. We have to forgive. It's a matter of your will. It's not how you feel. You will to forgive. And then you release it to the Lord. And I wanted to read Matthew, the 11th chapter, verses 2 through 6.
"Now when John in prison heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, 'Are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Go and report to John what you have heard, or what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who keeps from stumbling over me.'"
You know, here was John. He was in prison. And he sent some of his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the expected one?" You know, this is what hurt and bitterness kind of can do to us. Because here, John, baptized Jesus in the River Jordan, and he heard the voice from heaven say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." I mean, you know, you could think, man, if I heard a voice from heaven, and it says, it showed that the dove came down and the voice spoke, you'd think that you would doubt that was not the Son of God? You know, but life and serving God had not turned out the way he thought. How many times have we been serving God and things didn't turn out just the glorious way we thought? He had perceived how things would turn out, and it hadn't happened. And that's when Jesus said in verse 6, Jesus says, "Blessed is he who keeps from stumbling over me. Blessed is he who doesn't let bitterness and hurt rise up, because it didn't happen the way we thought it was." Amen? We need to always be conscious of that. We need to do that. You know, bitterness is a real stronghold. Everybody has the opportunity to become bitter. I mean, it's not just happens to everyone has the opportunity to become bitter. I call it maybe it's a gift, because until the opportunity comes, we won't have the opportunity to reject it. Until we become bitter, we don't have the opportunity to reject bitterness and say, "Get away from me. I'm not going to allow myself to be bitter against this person, against this thing, against what's happening to me." You know, we had a deal Wednesday night. We were talking at the Bible study, and we were talking about what happens when things don't turn out the way you think that they should. You know, it gives, you know, we all think, well, I'm a believer, and now I'm walking with the Lord, and everything's going to be glorious. Sometimes it doesn't happen that way, does it? We have to be self-conscious rejecting bitterness, and we have to do that all the time. You know, for spiritual truth to be mastered, there is a constant rejection of accusation and bitterness against others or others, and the release of those people and things to God. You know, after we've fulfilled our biblical obligations, after we've forgiven them, after we've done, we got to come against the mental picture. You know, the enemy loves to bring out all the pictures and the things. What that, you see what that person did to you? You see what happened to you? We have to release that to God. Praise God. Without learning this skill, we will live trapped in the bitterness of the past as we run mental pictures, mental movies of all the perceived injustices and violation of our rights others have committed against us. I wanted to read Matthew, the 18th chapter, verses 15 through 18. We're going to see some things of how we deal with this, how we walk in unforgiveness and rejecting bitterness.
"And if your brother sins, go and reprove him in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. And if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax gatherer. Truly I say to you, whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
So this is dealing with conflict resolution. How you resolve conflict. And in Galatians, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 5, it says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. That's our responsibility. If someone you see, a brother has been overtaken in a trespass, we're supposed to go and restore that person in gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens. Praise God, we're to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. So we're to stand, and we're to undergird. We're to be with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And if we see them falling, if they need encouraging, we need to go to them and we need to encourage them. Amen? We need to strengthen them. As we read in Matthew, the 6th chapter, part of the Lord's Prayer is we have to forgive. It's a deal. Praying for God's redemption and blessings upon people who have sinned against us or others. How many times have we seen someone that has sinned or done something wrong to somebody else, and we just stand back and we don't do anything? We're supposed to pray for them. We're supposed to pray and speak blessings upon them and not get bitter. You know, we can get bitter because someone has done something to somebody else. Amen? Everyone is given the opportunity to be bitter. But we need to resolve in ourselves. We need to be committed to forgive others who have hurt us and to release them to the Father for His redemptive purposes. Scripture tells us we are not to play the blame game, even though we might have the right to do so. You know, sometimes we have a right to blame. We have a right to be there, but it says we're not to do that. Scripture tells us, and we just read it in Matthew, the 18th chapter, how to resolve the conflict. One-on-one, then two or three, go to the one, and if not, then you bring it to the church. If we are looking for reasons to live in the blame, to live in the blame game, to be angry, and live in accusations, life will give many opportunities to do that. You know, sometimes I've come to see that the Lord tests us, and the need to be awake and not to get bitter. It's a test. God lets things happen so that we can see ourselves, so that we can see what's going on in ourselves. You know, it's not about being fair. It's about how you respond to things that happen. You know, sometimes, God, that's not fair. That's not right. But it happens. So how are you going to respond to it? Are you going to give it to the Lord and pray and release it to the Lord? You know, the enemy is anxious to water the seeds of bitterness once they are in you. He loves to stir it up. Don't you remember what that guy did to you? Don't you do this? Don't you? And those movies start happening and we do that. Praise God. What happens when someone says something to you that hurts? When our heart is damaged, it sends signals to our brain that says, okay, computer. You know, this brain's like a computer. Begin to bring out every fact, every figure, every fantasy that you can come up with that will damage that person that hurt you. It This has never happened to anybody here, has it? I mean, everybody, not in this group. This group, they never walked that way. Amen? We've been, amen, praise God. But, you know, when something happens and somebody does something to you, don't allow that to get, to let that computer start running and saying, they don't like me, they don't do this, they don't do that. Don't allow it, amen? Don't allow it. I want Wanda to read Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 14 to 21.
Bless those who persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Amen. So God is saying, let it go, because vengeance is mine. I'll take care of it. I'll deal with it. I will repay, says the Lord. You know, sometimes we use anger. Anger is an emotion that we use in most cases to really bring hurt to other people. I've seen people that get angry at everything. And you know, one of the things that anger does, it's a control factor. In other words, somebody gets angry at you, you want to just give in, you want to get away from them, you want to do, so it's a control factor too. To give, we need to, anger is an emotion that brings hurt to other people. To give your need for energy, to give you revenge. You know what a legitimate conversation is? A legitimate conversation has two components. Asserting that I believe to be true, what I think is true, and then the discovering what someone else had to say to me. You know, sometimes we need to say, oh, you said this about me, and then they didn't, and then let them speak back. But sometimes if we're hurt and we got bitterness, we don't let somebody else talk, do we? We're just mad. We're bitter. You ever seen anybody that's just so bitter they can't talk to anybody? I guess nobody's seen anybody like that. I have. I've seen people that are so bitter and they just allow the hurt and everything that they can't talk to him. I mean, everything that comes out of their mouth is mad and angry, bitter. We need to have a legitimate conversation that has two components. What I believe you said about me, and then let you say what you really said about me. Sometimes we let people, oh, did you know what so-and-so said about you? Do you know what somebody said about you? And then you listen to it. And then that wasn't really maybe what that person said. So you need to, what was this? Go and talk to someone. Go one-on-one. And if that doesn't resolve, go two or three in one. Get it out. Do you know what bitterness and blame put us in jail with those who we are offended by? It puts us in jail. They forced me to spend time in jail with them. When I get offended by somebody, I go into the prison of blame and I bring them in there with me. Because when we're playing the blame game and when we're playing the bitterness thing and self-pity and all this, we're in a prison. And you know what? You know where the key to the jail cell is? It's on the inside of us. It's not on the outside. It's on the inside. I'm the only one who can let myself out. I have locked myself in by giving myself right to take vengeance against a person and for what they've done to me. When we're talking to someone and who is hung and we're hung up in bitterness, they are there and they're in there with us. And when I get offended with someone, I go into the prison of blame. How do we get out? What is the key? Forgiveness. Forgiveness is the key in our hand to get us out of prison, to set us free, and to set them free. Forgiveness. We must spend time with Jesus to stay awake. You know, one of the things we talk about relationships, and we've been talking about being in a relationship with Jesus and walking with Him and talk. We've got to spend time with Him so that we will be awake to these situations, so that we see them happening. So we see, and we don't walk in unforgiveness. I mean, when someone does me wrong, if we are awake, we'll see it, and we'll not allow unforgiveness or bitterness to come in. You know what Jesus said when He was hanging on the cross? Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. That's pretty big. That's pretty awesome. Can we say the same thing when somebody does us wrong? Father, forgive them because they don't really know what they're doing. That's the way the Lord wants us to walk. You know, in 1 Corinthians 13:5, it says, love does not keep score. I think it's part of what's on the sign outside, the love chapter. We used to make our kids read, I don't remember how often, once a day or once a week or something, that they memorize the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, of the love part. I mean, we wanted them to be so ingrained with the scripture that love doesn't keep score. Love does this and love does that. Walk in love. But you know what? We can't help others until we are free ourselves. I mean, Jesus says we're to be ministers and we're to help others and we're to pray for others. But you can't help others if you're not free. Amen? So let us set free so that we can set others free. Let us be free so that we can set others free. Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, draw to our attention all the ones we have unforgiveness and bitterness. Even though they're the bad ones, even though they're bad people. But we need to ask the Lord, Lord, you bring it to my mind. Bring it to me, the ones that I have unforgiveness against. And we want to give them to you for your redemptive purposes. We release them. We forgive them. And I'm just going to, as we pause this morning, as we close this morning, let's just stop a minute and just ask the Holy Spirit if there's anyone here, anyone that we need to forgive. Lord, that that we forgive them. If they said some bad thing about us or to us and we've heard about it, let's forgive them. Amen. We want to give them to you for your redemptive person. Because you said vengeance is yours. And we turn them over to you. We turn them back to you. And Lord, we just ask today, anyone that you've brought to our minds, that we just forgive them, Lord. We ask you to bless them. We give them to you to heal them, to save them. Lord, we release it and we come against bitterness and we break its hold over us and we forgive them. So we take the keys to this jail cell. We take the keys of unforgiveness and we get out and we're set free and we're setting them free also. And we thank you, Lord, and we magnify. Jesus, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you that we can walk in forgiveness. As we said earlier, Christianity is a way. Forgiveness is a way of Christianity. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, keep us in your way. Lord, keep us and protect us and guide us. And we thank you and we magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Praise God.